Phaedo by Plato, narrated by Stacy Patterson. Persons of the dialogue. Phaedo, who is the narrator of the dialogue to Echecrates of Phlius, Socrates, Apollodorus, Simmias, Cebes, Crito, and an attendant of the prison. Scene: the prison of Socrates. Place of the narration: Phlius. Echecrates: were you yourself, Phaedo, in the prison with Socrates on the day when he drank the poison? Phaedo: yes, Echecrates, I was. Echecrates: I should so like to hear about his death. What did he say in his last hours? We were informed that he died by taking poison, but no one knew anything more. For no Phlysian ever goes to Athens now, and it is a long time since any stranger from Athens has found his way hither, so that we had no clear account. Phaedo: did you not hear of the proceedings at the trial? Echecrates: yes, someone told us about the trial, and we could not understand why. Having been condemned, he should have been put to death, not at the time, but long afterwards. What was the reason of this? Phaedo: an accident, Echecrates. The stern of the ship, which the Athenians send to Delos, happened to have been crowned on the day before he was tried. Echecrates: what is this ship? Phaedo: it is the ship in which, according to Athenian tradition, Theseus went to Crete when he took with him the 14 youths, and was the savior of them and of himself. And they were said to have vowed to Apollo at the time that if they were saved, they would send a yearly mission to Delos. Now this custom still continues, and the whole period of the voyage to and from Delos, beginning when the priest of Apollo crowns the stern of the ship, is a holy season, during which the city is not allowed to be polluted by public executions. And when the vessel is detained by contrary winds, the time spent in going and returning is very considerable. As I was saying, the ship was crowned on the day before the trial, and this was the reason why Socrates lay in prison and was not put to death until long after he was condemned. Echecrates: what was the manner of his death, Phaedo? What was said or done? And which of his friends were with him? Or did the authorities forbid them to be present, so that he had no friends near him when he died? Phaedo: no, there were several of them with him. Echecrates: if you have nothing to do, I wish that you would tell me what passed as exactly as you can. Phaedo: I have nothing at all to do, and will try to gratify your wish. To be reminded of Socrates is always the greatest delight to me, whether I speak myself or hear another speak of him. Echecrates: you will have listeners who are of the same mind with you, and I hope that you will be as exact as you can. Phaedo: I had a singular feeling at being in his company, for I could hardly believe that I was present at the death of a friend, and therefore I did not pity him. Echecrates: he died so fearlessly, and his words and bearing were so noble and gracious, that to me he appeared blessed. I thought that in going to the other world he could not be without a divine call, and that he would be happy, if any man ever was, when he arrived there, and therefore I did not pity him as might have seemed natural at such an hour. But I had not the pleasure which I usually feel in philosophical discourse, for philosophy was the theme of which we spoke. I was pleased, but in the pleasure there was also a strange admixture of pain, for I reflected that he was soon to die, and this double feeling was shared by us all. We were laughing and weeping by turns, especially the excitable Apollodorus. You know the sort of man? Echecrates. Yes. Phaedo. He was quite beside himself, and I and all of us were greatly moved. Echecrates. Who were present? Phaedo. Of native Athenians there were, besides Apollodorus, Cretobulus and his father Crito, Hermogenes, Epigenes, Aeschines, Antisthenes, likewise Tesippus and the deme of Paeania, Menexenus, and some others. Plato, if I am not mistaken, was ill. Echecrates. Were there any strangers? Phaedo. Yes, there were. Simmias, the Theban, and Cebes, and Phaedondas, Euclid, and Terpison, who came from Megara. Echecrates. And was Aristippus there? And Cleombrotus? Phaedo. No, they were said to be in Aegina. Echecrates. Anyone else? Phaedo. I think that these were nearly all. Echecrates. Well, and what did you talk about? Phaedo. I will begin at the beginning and endeavor to repeat the entire conversation. On the previous days, we had been in the habit of assembling early in the morning at the court in which the trial took place, and which is not far from the prison. There we used to wait, talking with one another until the opening of the doors, for they were not opened very early. Then we went in and generally passed the day with Socrates. On the last morning, we assembled sooner than usual, having heard on the day before, when we quitted the prison in the evening, that the sacred ship had come from Delos. And so we arranged to meet very early at the accustomed place. On our arrival, the jailer who answered the door, instead of admitting us, came out and told us to stay until he called us. For the 11, he said, are now with Socrates. They are taking off his chains and giving orders that he is to die today. He soon returned and said that we might come in. On entering, we found Socrates just released from chains, and Xanthippe, whom you know, sitting by him and holding his child in her arms. When she saw us, she uttered a cry and said, as women will, "Oh, Socrates, this is the last time that either you will converse with your friends or they with you." Socrates turned to Crito and said, "Crito, let someone take her home." Some of Crito's people accordingly led her away, crying out and beating herself. And when she was gone, Socrates, sitting up on the couch, bent and rubbed his leg, saying, as he was rubbing, "How singular is the thing called pleasure, and how curiously related to pain, which might be thought to be the opposite of it, for they are never present to a man at the same instant. And yet he who pursues either is generally compelled to take the other. Their bodies are two, but they are joined by a single head. And I cannot help thinking that if Aesop had remembered them, he would have made a fable about God trying to reconcile their strife, and how, when he could not, he fastened their heads together. And this is the reason why when one comes, the other follows, as I know by my own experience now. When after the pain in my leg, which is caused by the chain, pleasure appears to succeed." Upon this, Cebes said, "I am glad, Socrates, that you have mentioned the name of Aesop, for it reminds me of a question which has been asked by many, and was asked of me only the day before yesterday by Evenus the poet. He will be sure to ask it again, and therefore, if you would like me to have an answer ready for him, you may as well tell me what I should say to him. He wanted to know why you, who never before wrote a line of poetry,